Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
We've just had two semi-finals of Wimbledon, and they've lasted about a couple of hours total. All a bit of a disappointment. However, we've got Mary Carrillo, so who cares? Hello, Mary.
I think both semis were done in 2 hours and 12 minutes, something like that. Serena got off the court in under an hour. Looked great. We had a shot of her in the call of my match, a tight shot of her eyes. Very frightening. Predatory, frightening. I haven't seen her this focused all year.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
And what do you put that down to? Because we've had this a number of times now, her reaching Grand Slam finals, yes. And we've kind of assumed she'd end up winning them,
correct.
And something's happened.
Including me, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I remember being here a year ago when we were ahead of the Kerber final, and we all thought she would win.
Yes. Oh, Catherine didn't.
Objection.
Here we go.
Wait a minute.
It's not rewrite history. Certainly not to my detriment, anyway.
You called Kerber?
I think yeah. I did, yeah.
Wow. On the record.
Wow.
She wasn't playing that well last year, Serena. No. She's playing so much better this year. I mean, there are similarities in that she's had a relatively easy run to the final, draw, if you saw it on paper.
2 years in a row, the only top 30 player she's faced to get to the Wimbledon final is Julia Gerges.
Yeah.
Which is a bonkers stat.
I mean, how did you come up with that? Where did you get this stuff from? What has happened to Serena then? Because when she turned up here, and throughout the year, she's had this horrible knee problem. She's looked in a really bad way. Yeah. And we've actually had conversations on this podcast when we've said, is she actually going to make this record happen? Is she going to match it? Is she going to beat it? Now I think, well, I'm expecting her to do it and match it here. But she didn't look that good in the first round here. So what's happened?
Well, she's one of those players who can play their way into form, into shape. The tennis, you know, all the tennis playing actually helps her. And she said as much when she got off the court today. She said, I needed matches, and now I've got them, and I'm playing well. I'd be shocked if she doesn't win this one. But I also picked her to beat Naomi Osaka in last year's U.S. Open final. So don't take my word for
it. But it is like that, isn't it, with her? We've always said it's like John McEnroe and anybody. It's Serena Williams if she's on her game. She wins.
Yes.
But I must say, at the start of this tournament, I probably wouldn't have necessarily said that because I just didn't think this was in her.
Hang
anymore.
On, you both persuaded me to pick Serena.
I know I
at the start of this tournament.
I'm going to dig myself out of this. I know I picked her to win the title correctly, but I'm going to disprove my theory that I gave to Matt about why Roger Federer will win tomorrow against Rafael Nadal. I told him I don't do hunches. But I had a hunch
that
Serena Williams would win this title almost by law of averages.
So, so you think two 37-year-olds with five children between them are going to win Wimbledon this year?
Yeah, wow. I do. But I don't. I didn't really...
Do you think Federer is going to beat Nadal and Djokovic in the same slam for the first time ever, aged 37.
Yes, I think that.
Wow, yeah. David Law throws it down.
All right, look, anyway, I think he's going
to
win
not
tomorrow.
Not to discount the challenge of Roberto Bautista.
Don't forget Robbie Betts. Yeah. Robbie Betts is the man.
Robbie Betts is an upgrade on yesterday's rap nickname that I came up with. But Yeah, I didn't feel like there was any logic to thinking that Serena Williams would really win here, because it was Ash Barty who was playing so well. They were supposed to meet in the quarters. So have you seen a difference as she's gone along?
Yeah, I think so. I thought Serena played very well today, and she robbed Streets of any time to create variety. You know, Streets has got a lot of shots. I really like her a lot. I like watching her play and compete, but you have to have time to play the game that she plays, and Serena didn't give her any of it. Just took up all the oxygen on center court.
I mean, Serena's very first press conference at this tournament, when she was in such a good mood, sort of poking fun at the possibility of marrying Serena. That's what convinced me that she's in a much better place than she had been in Paris. Yeah. But she kept saying that she was better and her knee was better, but today was the first time I saw her and thought, she is moving properly again.
Correct.
Like, she was all over the court today.
She's jettisoned him. Will there be an assist to Andy Murray if she does win 24 on Saturday?
I'd say there is, isn't there? Certainly to the mixed doubles,
he stood there and watched her play herself into form.
Yeah,
no, I think that's true. And look, when Serena was winning her majors in singles, she was also winning a lot of them in doubles with her sister, and that was great practice and great fun. It relaxed her. It made her feel better about being at a tournament for 2 weeks. So yeah, I buy into that. Let's face it, the storylines at this year's Wimbledon have been a lot better than a lot of the tennis, right? I mean, for me, there have been a couple of really interesting matches. Not as many as I would have liked, but the actual stories, Coco dominating the first week, Serena and Andy playing together in mix, now Serena going after 24 majors. And the stories, have you seen a lot of great tennis matches here? I haven't.
No.
I mean, Kyrgios-Nadal was...
Kyrgios-Nadal stands out.
That has to stand out.
Dan Evans obviously stands out.
Kyrgios-Nadal, Barty, Risk.
Dan Evans definitely does.
But I know what you mean.
We'll go away from this tournament thinking of it as this vintage tournament because there were these storylines that you can cling to.
Right.
But there aren't... I mean, I talked earlier about Svitolina Halep as a match of the year in Doha, and yet today's was just the dampest of damp squibs.
It was good for 20 minutes, two love after 20 minutes, two really competitive games.
Yeah.
And then...
What happens to Svitolina on the big stage?
Oh, boy. It was
She looked exhausted today, but...
Yeah.
I mean, she's super fit, isn't she?
She looks thin to me. People keep telling me she's fit. To me, she looks like she could eat a few more hoagies. Have a couple more beers as I take a swallow myself.
Less than she used to be, though.
Yeah.
But I think the main problem is stress. When I look at her out there, I mean, we've got the courtside commentary box, and you look at her, and even in the second game, Halep was really grouchy out there today, and she was having a go at everybody, including everybody in her box. And all the way through the match, she looked on the edge of her nerves.
She's got a ball abuse.
But she was just on the right side of her nerves. I do feel that if something untoward had happened, if things had started to go against her, she could have completely gone.
Oh, yeah, she was on the edge.
But Svitolina, on the other hand, was totally inhibited.
Yep.
She looked as though she was just thinking too hard about it all, and she wasn't just letting her game happen. And I mean, she's a good player. She's way better than she showed today. And we've seen too much of this.
Well, she's way better than she's ever really shown in a major. I mean, we've seen some big collapses from
her. This is a breakthrough. And yet it's a disappointing.
Do you think she'll reflect upon it as a breakthrough, though, given what happened today? Is she doing the proverbial taking the positives, or is she sobbing into a towel?
What do you do? What do you do? If you're her coach, what do you do about it?
First, I demand a raise. We watched her. I was with Sue Barker on the Beeb. While she was warming up, we were all celebrating. Oh, okay. And which was lovely. It was lovely. But I didn't hear it.
I just saw it. So I want to know what you said.
I was magnificent. I just crushed it.
Can confirm.
I assumed that.
No, but we showed Svitolina warming up, and she was attacking the ball, and she was inside the baseline, and I thought to myself, yeah, she's got to do that because she can't live on the baseline with Halep, and then she didn't do any of that at all. I mean, she's got to be extremely disappointed. She said in her press afterwards that after a match like this, she just wants to be alone. And I don't blame her.
I heard...
Not good news for Gem's life, that, is it?
No.
One half was there watching.
No weird content coming out of Gem's life tonight.
No, sadly. And yet, a year and a half ago, I saw her face Halep and just totally take her apart in Rome. And she won three successive straight sets matches against her. And I heard from her coaching team that she believed that toe-to-toe, she had the bigger game than Halep. And she thought she could overpower her, you know, not with massive strokes, but that she was confident.
She likes the net more than Halep too. I kept waiting for her to get herself there,
and lo and behold, that's what she did. But today there was none of that.
She looked underpowered against Halep today.
It was Halep who was taking all the chances, all the initiative, and Svitolina became a scurrier. And you don't win major matches.
Look, you got
scurrying.
To, and you have to believe in your serves. And I don't think Halep always does either. But Svitolina, you know, they're much better returners than servers. And that always makes me a little jumpy. Like, you just wondering if they're going to keep it close and hold and you know, create tension in the beginning of a match. And if that doesn't happen, you all right?
I just got stung on my lip.
Oh, no. What do we do?
I don't know. What do you do?
Ice. Medical timeout. Hold on.
Let me ask these.
Oh,
okay.
Jesus Christ, that hurts.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There were concerns over whether Catherine Whittaker would ever walk again. And I'm happy to say that having found a shed load of ice and an additional beer to anaesthetise basically the entire region of Catherine's face, we are back.
I tell you what, she is one plucky Brit.
Yeah, that's right.
She really is.
She'd have gone to five sets and she'd have nearly won. Definitely.
Yeah. Are you okay?
I'm okay. I'm glad I don't believe in divine signalling.
Yes.
This is sort of the practical real life equivalent of what's happened to me on Twitter over the past 48 hours.
Yes. Yes, Twitter.
Although.
The universe sent a plague of wasps.
Yeah. Oh, and then some dogs.
And then, so yeah, Matt and David dispersed to seek ice. David came back heroically first, won the race with a small cup of ice. Matt returned with a pint-sized cup of ice and two dogs in tow.
So who won?
Well, you won, because it was all about speed.
Yeah.
I was asked, he said that'll be £5. I said, no, it blooming won't.
If,
I said.
If you need, I'll tell you.
We don't like her that much.
If you need somebody for speed, you go to David Law, is what I say. And,
it's the long levers.
I have not moved that fast in at least 25 years. So, I'll tell you what, let's try and take Catherine's mind off it by talking about Alina Svitolina's hopes for the future.
Yeah.
I am wondering whether she will ever crack it, to be honest, at the very highest level, or whether it is going to be a Simona Halep situation whereby she incrementally builds these blocks and then finally has enough there to do what she wants to do.
I really like it when people trust in their own serving. That to me is, it's such a big deal. It's what has made so many great players great. And if Svitolina can develop that in a big way, at times her serving is really keen, and that's when she plays her best because it takes the pressure off of the rest of her, you know? I think if she does that, if she can work on that, she'd be a more relaxed competitor, right? She just looked so high-strung
tight
the whole time out there, right?
Yeah.
It was hard to watch.
Yeah, it was. Simona Halep, though, Catherine is the one who let us know via the coach, Daniel Dobre,
in Paris. I forgot all about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean, I ended up bringing that out on air on Match Point because she targeted Wimbledon,
yeah,
which really came as a surprise. But a refreshing one and great.
Yeah, and as I think I said on yesterday's podcast, at the time I speculated that maybe it was a deflection tactic to take the pressure off her title defence at the French Open. Well, I mean, maybe it was in part, but equally also seems like they really meant business, which, given that she didn't play a warm-up event, did she?
She played Eastbourne.
Oh, did she?
Mm.
Oh,
lost,
she didn't
she lost
play,
to Kerber.
But she came...
heavily.
She came here and practiced before going to... She was here 2 weeks before the start of the tournament. Someone pick up that sentence while I put some ice on my
Just imagine doing a podcast after you've been to the dentist and had the local anaesthetic. That's what Catherine's dealing with right now. This is heroic beyond the call of duty.
It really
and
is.
It is all for you. All right? You
remember when
listening right
Mary
now.
Pierce twisted her ankle?
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
And attempted to limp on.
Yes. Wow. It's all flooding back into me now. Yes. One of your lips is much larger than the other, and yet you bash on.
Yeah.
Rudyard Kipling would be so proud.
I am. I couldn't be prouder.
Yeah.
So, Serena Williams against Simona Halep in the final.
Yeah.
It's 9-1,
yep.
Mary.
Yep.
Give Simona Halep fans a reason to believe that she will win. What would have to happen here?
She'd have to play with great freedom. Great freedom. She'd have to return Serena, which I don't think has ever been easy for her. You know, she doesn't have the wingspan that some people have. And she's going to have to hold. I mean, Serena, on serving and returning, especially today, she just did not give Svitolina a chance. And that's what Halep's got to hope, that her form drops a little bit.
I was going to say, does she actually need Serena to
have a bad day? No, I think she needs help from Serena.
Charlie Eccleshare with us a couple of days ago, I think his view was that, well, if Kerber can do it last year, why can't Halep?
And that surely she'll be watching that match back. Look, it's a better Serena this year, without question, but surely she'll be watching that, or Daniel Dobre will be watching that final back from last year. That's the kind of template, is it not?
Can I just say that Darren Cahill has been around an awful lot? I know he's not the official coach, but boy, is he an unofficial coach. And when I came up here to speak with you, they were huddling together, and I saw them after the match doing the same thing. He was with Virginia.
I think if you're huddling, you're a coach, aren't you?
Well, that's
is
what I mean.
Not
I mean,
the
I mean, he is.
Feature?
I know he's. It's a sub rosa type situation, but he's very much
the greatest unofficial coach ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Although you might say Patrick Mouratoglou is. We're getting attacked by another one here. Patrick Mouratoglou is still down as a coaching consultant after all these years. Mind you, he doesn't seem to mind. He's obviously going to be giving her some tips. What do we think? Has anybody here got Halep winning?
They played at the Australian Open earlier this year, and obviously Serena won, but it was a great match.
It was really good.
And I think it was good. It was good enough and close enough that Halep will take confidence from.
And that was a match where Serena needed the bun. Because
did she?
Yeah, after
that's all about the bun.
It's a bun match.
Matt has actually gone into the archives and checked.
I've got my hair in a bun today, folks.
Yeah,
but it's not panned out brilliantly.
Halep won this.
A B bun.
But yeah, Halep won the second set, and then Serena put her hair in a bun.
How do you remember this?
You're an odd man, Matt.
I take that as a compliment.
I mean it with great...
Magnificently odd.
Yes. But
as am I.
Halep's down-the-line shots today were insanely good. Yes. Like, she was the one just wrestling control of the rallies, but I don't think she'll be able to do that against Serena. There's a power imbalance there in terms of from the back of the court.
That's an interesting point, because usually I could be way off base here, but I get the feeling that Serena doesn't bother with tactics. She doesn't bother with opposition research. She just goes out there and says, I'm the best. I'm going to try and do my best. But I felt like today she did. She'd really done her research on Strzelcova.
I think, I honestly give credit to Patrick Mouratoglou for making her more aware of her opponents.
He will enjoy you saying that, Mary.
Yeah, no, but I know.
I'm sure he will. But you think there's a he will do a good sort of case study and maybe put... What would he do? Would he put down sort of a bunch of bullet points?
I honestly don't pretend to know what they're... How they go about that coaching process. I think more than anything, I agree with Patrick, it's in Serena's hands. I mean, every match pretty much that she goes out and plays is in her hands.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. I think she'll just keep that in mind and keep it simple. And I think Halep, for her part, has to pretty much do the same thing. She gets inside her own head too much, and that's when things go wrong for her.
Do you think she will handle the nerves of the situation better than she has against Kerber, against Pliskova at the Australian Open, against Vinci back in the day when she was trying to get the calendar for? Do you think... Or do you think that we're just going to have to wait and see on that one? I mean, what are your thoughts?
I mean, look, for both of them, for Halep, neither Halep nor Serena has won a title this year. So Wimbledon will be the first title for either one of them. So let's digest that a little bit. It's nice to go through a tournament and not lose, which is what Serena is very used to doing. So I think, I mean, I give a great edge to Serena on this one. I really do. I mean, she's been waiting a long time to tie Margaret Court's 24 majors. She's been waiting a long time. You know, since she's become a mother, she hasn't won a tournament. And that's got to... And she only seems to care about two-week tournaments any longer, you know? So that puts a lot of pressure on it. But she should go in there feeling very, very good about this one. Very good about this one. I mean, but again, if Halep plays with freedom, you know, she says she's having a chill year, which actually bothered me when I first heard her say that. I'm there, why the hell do you want a chill year?
You didn't like her being happy, did you?
I don't like a happy Halep. I really don't. I, that's right. We talked about this at the French Open.
Is it Halep in particular, or is it anybody being
I don't want anyone to be happy.
Matt, you're way too jolly for my liking.
Yeah. I don't like pleasant people.
At least Catherine's not very happy at the moment.
That's not true. I think you know what I mean. I don't.
Absolutely. I mean, she was incredibly frank in response to that. She said, yeah, didn't she?
Yes.
You said, do you think you might be too happy? And she was like, maybe.
Yes.
But it's great.
I just want her to be hungry. If you're happy and hungry, then I'm in. You know?
I think she is hungry for this.
That's what I'm hoping.
It's been the target all year.
Yeah, there is a shift compared to Roland Garros.
As unearthed by Catherine.
Quickly forgotten about and then remembered.
Yes, just in the nick of time. Okay, so I think, just to bring a full stop to this, I feel that this will be the most satisfying of the lot if Serena wins it.
Oh, sure.
Given that... It would match the record, and as you say, she would have her daughter in company, and there must have been doubts in her head, even for her, as to whether it would happen.
And she just hasn't been fit, you know. If she is finally fit, you know, and ready to go, and she wins her 24th at Wimbledon, a tournament she loves, it could be a very special scene. And frankly, I'm ready for this whole 24 thing. The time I want that to be over. There are some storylines that I'm really tired of. You know, the next gen storyline. Please, we got to bury
that. Officially over.
It's that.
If Wimbledon 2019 hasn't killed that. I mean, it's a narrative
that just is not holding up.
32-year-olds are the like newest gen in this tournament as things stand.
Yeah, I mean,
Robbie Betts.
True story, Marin Cilic was included in a VT roundup about the next gen by the BBC last week.
Nearly.
But I mean, he's sort of, you look at the semi-final lineup and he sort of is. I mean, he's, you know, lost about 400 years ago, but at the time...
Right, these blokes. Roger Federer against Rafael Nadal, 11 years on. Mary, where were you back in the day, 2008?
I was right here watching that thing. It was magnificent.
Where does that stand in your list of greatest matches you've seen?
I haven't seen many better. That one, everyone compares it against the Borg-McEnroe match, which I also thought was pretty good, too. It's right up there. I honestly like watching them play on grass more than any other surface. The clay is too predictably Nadal's to win. The hard court matches are great. Some of them are great. The 2017 Australian Open, they were both coming back from injury, from being gone for half a year. So that was kind of fun.
The US Open ones don't exist.
Their US Open ones have never happened, which is...
They're annoyed, aren't they?
Sobbing themselves to sleep, aren't they?
This is the year, folks.
And they've played a full circuit of the other majors since coming back from injury, and still we haven't had that US Open one.
Yeah, but this is the only place where they're head-to-head in majors. Is Rogers? He's 2-1 on grass at Wimbledon against Nadal.
You know,
otherwise
that,
it's 10-3 for Rafa.
You know that look you described in Serena's eyes earlier, though. If you've not seen that in Rafa's eyes.
Oh, absolutely.
Terrifying.
Absolutely. And I genuinely thought Rafa had a great chance to win Wimbledon last year.
That match
against Djokovic was one of the best matches I've ever. I know this pod talks about recency bias. I thought that was an unbelievable. That's one of the best matches I've ever seen.
And the previous match, the Del Potro match, for me was one of
that
the
was
best
another
matches
beauty.
I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And yet, I walked out of those matches yesterday, and my initial reaction is, well, Rafael Nadal is playing the best tennis that I've seen at this year's Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And he's the man who's beaten Nick Kyrgios in the second round, which is such a tough draw.
That's the only set he's lost.
He's dealt with all that. He's beaten Songa. He's beaten everybody else. We were talking about it earlier. He's been looking like he's been starved for about a week and just suddenly been given a slab of meat to just feast on. And he's going out to court having had his first bite of it. And he's only allowed to have the rest after he's won his match. But
he does have that carnivorous look to him. He does.
However,
you know the Goonies? You know Sloth in the Goonies?
I can't say I do, but carry on.
There's sort of
really, she has been stung by a wasp plague, so you know you can excuse
really
this.
Gentle giant. He spends most of the film chained up, unjustly chained up, and there's a scene at the end, and he's wearing a Superman T-shirt that
Correct.
Doesn't quite fit him. For the duration of the... It doesn't quite fit. I mean, he's bursting out of it. And there's this scene at the end where he breaks out of it and does this sort of...
On the pirate ship.
We should have a rule about guests in the future being Goonies literate, because this is wonderful.
Yeah. Right.
And it's this guttural roar, and that is Rafael Nadal to me this
right.
fortnight. It is Sloth breaking the chains and letting out a guttural roar on One-Eyed Willie's pirate ship.
And
I can verify that.
And yet...
How do I come off this? And yet, I found myself describing, and I can't remember who it was to, straight off the court, I ended up thinking that Nadal was going to win, and then as I started to articulate what I thought was going to happen to my colleague, I ended up thinking, no, Federer's going to win. And the reason Federer's going to win...
Is it another hunch?
No, it's not a hunch.
What is it?
It's the words of Roger Federer, which are that I'm going to play grass court tennis, you know. And
can
it's,
I give you the words of Nadal?
In a minute. Could you repeat?
Sorry. False.
False.
That is the best moment of Wimbledon 2019.
Yeah,
no. If was the best moment. Somebody said, well, if Nick Kyrgios ever really got focused and trained, if does not exist.
That almost was as awesome. Good as happen it.
Happen it. Please finish your thought.
So, I suddenly realised in Roger Federer's mind, there is no way he can beat Rafael Nadal by playing any rallies whatsoever of any note. So he just won't. Okay. He will come out and he'll say, you want rallies? You're not having them. I'm going to go for everything. Yes. I'm going to hit out. Do you know what? I don't even care if I lose. But I am going to lose every point on my racket.
I really think and you're going to have to. He loses,
no, but you're going to have to deal with it. And if I start connecting, you're done for.
And so you're picking Federer.
I'm picking Federer because
you're picking Federer in four, Mary.
From the discuss. Second set onwards yesterday, after he played that so-so first set, and Nishikori was brilliant yesterday. I described this backhand that Federer hit. I still can't quite get over it. The purity of the hit, and from then on, it was like a switch. And I just feel that he's found it right now, and he's gonna realize again the old backhand thing from the 2017 Australian Open, and then those thrashings he gave Nadal shortly afterwards. I think that is the Federer we're going to see tomorrow. I think Nadal is going to fight fire with fire because he knows. I saw him in practice today. He knows that he can't allow himself to be bullied. So they're just going to go out at each other.
That's why I think grass is the best surface
and
for this matchup.
It's going to be a
matchup.
Sharpshooter just, contest.
It's a leveler and it's gorgeous, and they can both of them can pick the ball off the blades like as soon as it's touched. It's really remarkable.
I think it's going to be I think it could, tennis level wise, it could be up there with 08. I think we could be in for something incredible.
And I think that point about Federer playing the match on his terms is important, because the reason I always think that 08 Wimbledon final is so fascinating is because it's seeing Nadal and Federer, kind of their roles were reversed, because we think of Nadal as the fighter, yet he was the one with the two-set lead, and it was Federer having to come at him and wrestle the match from him. And I always thought that dynamic in that match was absolutely fascinating. Like, you're seeing Nadal trying to protect the lead and Federer come back at him with everything he's got, and they just pushed each other to these extraordinary heights. But Federer cannot afford to go down two sets to love tomorrow. Surely he has to come out and probably win the first set to give himself a chance.
I agree.
It's certainly one of the first two anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both better players than they were 11 years ago.
Hmm.
Do you think that, Mary?
If that is true, how great is that?
do you think it's true?
I don't. It might be. There might be. I mean,
look.
Pat Cash
that might not apply to Federer in a fifth set tomorrow, but
exactly.
Tennis-wise...
Exactly.
Pat Cash thinks that Federer has added more to his game than he had in 08, because he's had to.
And I think Nadal has. He's got more variety. His backhand's better. He's better at the net.
When all three of them, when Djokovic, I'm including Djokovic, when they all talk about how they know they need to just keep improving. They're three of the greatest players of all time, and all they're looking to do is get better. I mean, that is... How much is that to be admired?
It's a treat, really.
Rafa knows how he's got to serve a little bigger, he's got to play points a little quicker, that Roger knows his bigger string bed is going to allow him to rip over his backhands more. I was talking to Matt about this before this started. I did the last match with Paul Anacone, who coached Roger for years, and, you know, Paul was... When he was playing Nishikori, he was going over his backhand returns a lot, and missing some, and Paul just, you know, was wondering why doesn't he chip his returns and just get some back in. But this is when Nishikori was playing such a good first set. It will be very interesting for me to see how he returns Nadal, because Nadal's going to be hitting into his backhand. It'll be interesting to see what Roger tries to do in that single department. That's already interesting to me.
Yeah, you're right.
For a second, Mary, let's get ahead of ourselves, because this is probably the only time we'll get you on throughout the fortnight. Let's say David's prediction comes true.
Yes.
Unlikely.
Let's envisage a world where David's right for a moment.
I got you ice.
And obviously no one is dismissing the challenge of lovely Roberto Bautista Agut, but it's a Federer-Djokovic final.
Yes.
David thinks Federer, and let's remember, he has never beaten both of them in the same slam.
That is nonsensical. Why did I think that?
David thinks Federer is winning that. What do you think? I'm asking what's going to happen in a hypothetical Federer Djokovic final.
Do you think
final?
That Djokovic is just going to pick up the pieces here, and he's going to deal with Roberto and send him on his way to his stag party, and then he's going
Blake
to
doesn't know what a stag party is.
And for you American listeners, including you, Mary. Do you know what it is?
Of course.
You've heard that before.
Yes.
Cool.
Well, I've not been invited to one, but I know they exist. They just call them something different,
right? Bachelor.
The bachelor parties, yeah. It's where you idiots like get really stupid and you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Usual. Yeah. What do they call it in Spain?
Una despedida de soltero, which is like a farewell to your... to being single.
Sounds so much more civilised.
That really does sound good.
Suddenly I don't imagine myself...
No one used those words when they were quizzing him about it.
No, I wasn't
in press
there
yesterday. He was so confused.
I imagine myself enjoying that. Not the ones I've been on, where I've been responsible for the safety of about 20 people.
Stag and Henry.
So wait, so is there anyone sitting at this table who thinks Djokovic is going to win Wimbledon again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who?
Well, no, not you.
Wait, it can't be you. And just how many picks do you get? What kind of a scam are you operating here, sir?
I don't think it would win Wimbledon, but I can imagine a scenario in which you could.
Oh, you can imagine a scenario in which the world number
he's
one
in the mix.
Who's in the semi-finals wins this tournament.
Should tell you, listeners, that there's a drinking game rule. Anybody mentions the mix has to take a drink, hence Mary's just
downed it.
Boom.
And because I prompted it, here
okay,
goes me.
Then. I'll let you off the hook here by asking, is Roberto Bautista a good in the mix?
No.
You've got a massive pint there, Catherine. Well, blimey neck.
We said at the start of the week that the start of the tournament, the mix was three at Wimbledon.
Yeah. And the mix remains.
And the mix remains.
The bloke's
three.
In the semi-finals, and he's still not in the mix. Anyway, I better have the rest of this.
Which to sends a message to the guy that tweeted us saying maybe the mix should be people that can reach the semi-finals.
Which
absolutely not.
And when I suggested it,
no, we have standards. They're low, but we have them.
Okay. So, what's your view, Mary? Is Djokovic going to get his job done tomorrow?
I can imagine
up his feet.
Yeah, I mean that he doesn't have to go through both of them, the way that you know Rafa or Roger does is a huge advantage. And Djokovic looks. He's been playing some very snappy looking tennis.
And suddenly he's peaking the way he does.
Yeah. Yeah, of course he can win this.
I think Bautista Agut is a little complicated for him for a couple of sets, maybe. I think the thing about Djokovic is he's so good at kind of shrinking the opponent's side of the court and in sort of making his side of the court appear bigger. But Bautista Agut gives him that sort of linear, repetitive ball, and he's not quite so easy to manoeuvre around the court, I think. And I think that gets a little bit in Djokovic's head, the relentlessness of the same ball coming
forehand.
Back
he's
to
got,
him.
The guy's got a huge forehand.
Yeah, and it's flat.
And he's beaten him twice this year, two out of three, which is obviously different.
Is he not going to get a touch of the Svitolinas tomorrow?
Roberto!
Oh, we've turned Svitolina into like this curse word now?
I don't think Roberto's
think so.
That kind of guy.
Semi-finals, suddenly, you know, oh my, look where I am.
I think
Roberto,
every match
he's dealt
is the
with
same.
A lot this year. He was the guy that had to play Andy Murray in what Tennis Australia desperately wanted to be his retirement match.
Yes.
He had to be that guy.
Yeah.
And he coped with that so brilliantly. I know that's a different thing.
I think he's one of the players of the year, I have to say.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, so he's back in the mix?
No, he's just...
What kind of a
he's
podcast just, are you running?
He's just a stand-up guy. No, he's not in the mix. He is on the boat, and I'll drink the rest of it.
He'd never made a slam quarterfinal in 24 slam appearances. Now he's made a quarterfinal and a semifinal.
It's
and
brilliant.
Two of his last
like
three.
I say, I think when we do our end-of-season silly awards, he's going to be right in there.
For which award specifically?
Can we just deal with Wimbledon before we get to December?
You mentioned the awards, David.
What do you think is going to happen tomorrow?
I think Roberto Bautista Agut, bless him, is going to lose.
And what do you think is going to happen in the other one? I'll have a rest.
Well, I mean, as I keep saying, I just see something in Nadal. I picked a Federer Djokovic final before the tournament.
Something's changed during the tournament.
And ill-advisedly, I picked Federer to win that because I was not aware of that I hadn't quite come to terms with the fact that Federer had never beaten the two of them in one slam, and I very much regret that. Something has changed. Mm. Something has changed. I am just... I keep saying it. I'm terrified by the sight of Rafael Nadal this tournament.
And so let's pretend that Rafa wins this title and he gets to 19 majors and now he's just one behind Roger. That he's only two behind Roger is the closest he's ever been.
Wow.
Yeah. The first time he won a major, the French, when he was 18, Roger had already won four.
Right. So, okay, so it's August 2019.
Awesome.
Nadal is on 19 and Federer is on 20 and they've never met at the US Open. Someone's rigging the draw. Someone is going to rig that draw.
I still think they're going to all retire on 20. Imagine that.
No, because they'll all keep going until someone's not on 20.
That's humanly
Serena
impossible.
Was asked in her flash interview today on Centre Court, I think it was Rishi Prasad. You know, he sort of phrased it quite delicately because, you know, asking a woman about her age and all that bollocks. you know, you're 37 or whatever.
Do I have to put an explicit on this?
Note to self, this is explicit.
Yeah.
You know, he said, what motivates you? What motivates you to keep doing this? And she sort of said, why would I not be doing this?
I love my
this?
Job, I think is what
why
she said.
Why would I not be doing yeah. this? I love my job. This is great. I still do it really well. Mm. I mean...
Yeah.
So if that remains the case, why are any of them going to retire?
Well, they're
going to
get old, aren't they? And they are old. I didn't say that.
Old doesn't mean anything anymore.
Doesn't really, does it? The framework of what is retirement age in tennis is just so different.
I mean, Barbora Strzelcowa said this might be her last year on tour. Nice. She's 33. She just reached her first Slam semi-final.
Peak years.
Yeah, she's... You're peaking, Barbora.
Blimey. Right, okay, come on, let's get it out on the table. And I want to know who's winning tomorrow out of Nadal and Federer, and I want to know who's in the final.
I'm shading towards Nadal.
Okay.
Right, Nadal and Djokovic final.
Mary, stand up here.
That's my guess.
She's on it.
Come
on.
Yeah. I think Nadal wins both.
Nadal wins the
Nadal
title.
Nadal to win the title.
Did you say that
at the
start
time.
Of the tournament?
Yeah. Oh. I didn't say it before the tournament.
What did you say then?
I said Federer Djokovic final with Federer to win.
All right. So okay. That's interesting. I like the fact that you've not gone with this, I said before that this would happen, so I suppose I better stay
we've
with it.
We've learnt a lot in the last 2 weeks.
You've actually applied
David,
observation.
I've been on a real journey this fortnight.
It's been a lot of growth.
Matt?
What are you thinking, Matt?
I think Nadal wins tomorrow and Djokovic wins the tournament.
Mm. I mean, because
that's the logical answer, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Because of
what if
Djokovic.
He gets attacked by this monster bee that's on the loose?
Federer got stung by a bee once in a match, didn't he?
There's a predator.
Against, I want to say...
He's got bee knowledge. He's going into the hives.
I want to say it was against Bellelli at the Australian Open.
What God. Just happened?
2015.
This is...
what just happened?
I'm almost hoping he got that wrong.
Wait, Bellelli 2015?
Australian Open. Federer won the match?
Was there a round that you can
two.
Remember? The round two?
What?
Oh, my God. God, he's a
bee correspondent.
I think that's... I mean, it might have been a wasp. But I think that's a thing. Can I get soppy for a moment and just say, like, how amazing I think it is that we're getting this match 11 years after that last one? If you think back to how much your life has changed in those last 11 years, like, and the fact that they've been constants throughout it, it is quite something, isn't it? I think we talked yesterday about that sort of big three fatigue that maybe has set in a little bit, but you get an occasion like tomorrow and you take it all back in a way because you just think moments like this are there to be treasured. And
I'm not fatigued of the big three. I'm fatigued of it being only the big three.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
To just to clarify.
Yeah, they're holding up their end.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can't blame them.
Yeah.
They're coming up with the goods.
My kids had yet to be born. I hadn't joined Twitter. I mean,
Instagram didn't exist. I saw that today on social media that Instagram did not exist. Yeah.
What were you doing in 2008 when that match took place, Matt?
I was watching it.
How old were you?
12.
12. Brilliant.
Yeah, 12, yeah.
Oh, who were you supporting?
Federer.
You were? Okay.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
No.
That was the year of the first ever Whittaker Christmas, which is what we call Wimbledon men's final day.
Yeah. You won't be having Whittaker Christmas this year, will you?
Yeah, barbecue. No Whittaker Christmas, because I'll be attempting to broadcast with a swollen bottom lip.
on Eurosport, presenting their live coverage whilst being
attacked. They haven't heard about recent developments. I might get... dropped.
No, it's fine.
This is a face for radio.
There's at least 2 days to go. We're all right. The final note, we were talking about stylistic matches earlier on.
Yes.
Which I love the idea. We could do podcast four of that. What comes to mind?
For me, well, obviously, Chrissy Martina, Bjorn and John, Agassi and Sampras. And I think that's why people are besotted with Federer and Nadal.
Yeah.
And again, not on clay, because that's a foregone conclusion.
And especially now that Federer has figured out some things he can do.
That's exactly right. They've both made each other so much better. Mm. And they have to divine from their past matches what's going to work and what's not. And they're both going to try to come up with, you know, magic.
Because in the past, we were saying, Mary, weren't we, that as stylistically interesting as the matchup has been, it's also been frustrating because Federer was never able to get over the backhand issue.
Correct.
And Nadal just beat him with it every single time. And it was, but since he's gone to that bigger head, he's found something, and now it's such an interesting contrast of styles.
Yes.
If somebody offered Roger Federer this Wimbledon a choice between a guaranteed this Wimbledon or Olympic gold in Tokyo next year...
Mm. We were discussing this as
what
well.
What would he take?
Guaranteed gold next year?
Yeah, or guaranteed this Wimbledon.
I think he'd go gold.
With his Uniqlo contract?
Yeah.
His Japanese contract worth $300 million? No, I think I
know what Uniqlo would go with.
Yes, exactly, exactly. You know, he won gold when he got won gold in Beijing. I was in Beijing when he won gold in doubles with Wawrinka. I don't know that I've ever seen him as happy as he was. And Nadal, by the way, was the same thing in, when he won the doubles in Rio with Mark Lopez. I mean, it meant the world to those guys. So golden singles would mean a lot to him. I mean, Andy's won it twice, right? He's got two Olympic golds.
Showing off.
Yeah, but no, I think Roger. I still think Wimbledon. I think he wants.
He's guaranteed. I mean, famous last words. Only got one more shot at Olympic gold.
That's
singles
right.
Gold.
Well, that's what's going to make the Olympics so great next year. It will be the last Olympics for Serena, for Nadal, for Roger, for so many players. Right?
Do you know,
Venus wants to hang on and get a ranking up high enough so she can play one last Olympics.
Weren't we all saying that about the Rio Olympics?
Well, yeah, just, but I mean, there are limits.
Yeah, there
but,
are.
But do you know, I mean, after the 2007 Wimbledon final, I interviewed Roger Federer straight afterwards for BBC Radio and asked him, is your target to try to see if you can keep playing till the 2012 Olympics?
Mm. The 2012 Olympics?
I genuinely asked that question. And he said, do you know, I haven't thought about it like that because I'd quite like to be one of those players like Connors that plays till like nearly 40.
And that's something he said in that Financial Times interview pre-tournament here that was really interesting, that I think he said in 2004 or was it 5?
4, I think.
4, which was, I mean, when he was at his absolute, you know, just everyone else might as well just not show up peak. He was already thinking about longevity and extending his career into his mid to late 30s at that stage, which is extraordinary.
I did not believe him when he said that. I thought, well, I mean, I might have believed him, but I just thought you're talking nonsense because nobody plays that old apart from Connors, who we know is a bit, you know,
old.
I mean, he's not, but you know what he's like. He's a glutton for punishment, is Jimmy Connors, and he just couldn't give it up. But I just thought Roger Federer's not going to do that. He'll want to have some flourishing end and then go on some lap of honour for a year. And I assumed it would happen after 2012.
Roger loves being Roger Federer.
Oh, well,
why not?
I mean, that's what I've discovered.
He loves being Roger Federer.
But I thought his body would break. I didn't think that this... I mean, this did not look doable.
But you watch him play, and you watch how there's not one muscle system in his body that contradicts another, you know? It's not fighting another. There's right?
What a description.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Did you see it the other day when Matteo Berrettini fell over and Federer lost? He was really enjoying being Roger Federer in that moment.
That was one of the moments of the tournament.
And Federer's kids were laughing.
Not even Berrettini. And the thing is, Berrettini didn't even mind.
No.
He was all right with it.
No,
that's
exactly.
That's the problem, though. You've got to mind Matteo and the rest of
Berrettini,
you.
Berrettini, who posted on Instagram just before we started, saying, Roger's made me change career with his... he's done some fashion shoot. Yeah, he's making jokes about losing the fastest ever fourth round at Wimbledon in the men's.
Yeah, you've got to stop making jokes when you lose, lads. You've got to be really irritated
by
it.
Exactly.
You cannot be happy.
You've got to be Stefano.
I've learned this.
In the lobby of the Mercure Paris Boulogne.
Yes, you have.
Looking like you're in utter despair.
Woebegone.
You have.
Forlorn. Just gutted. Yes.
Or you've got to show the sort of courage that Catherine Whittaker has showed throughout
exactly.
this podcast.
To we salute you, Catherine.
An extra long podcast as well.
It is a wonderful thing.
To have a proper injury.
I feel like this makes me boat-worthy.
I do too.
I would take you on my boat any day of the week.
So would I.
Yes.
And, you know...
For ballast.
Got through
it. The guys aren't the skippers, so... And... I'm not sure I covered myself in glory the one time I was crew.
This is a changing moment, this. Your father is going to see you in a new light after this,
yes.
I'm telling you. So well done, Catherine. Well done, Matt, on B-stats, because I'm still just agog. How is that possible? He's actually got stats fresh out of his mind without any preparation about the last time Roger Federer got stung by a bee.
Are we going to be hearing that in both your commentaries tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And Mary, I just want to... I know I have had one beer. I just want to say what a treat it is for us to have you on the podcast.
I love your podcast. It's a pleasure.
Thank you so much for joining us. It really is lovely for us. Enjoy the next few days. We'll try to do this all again for the rest of this week. We'll try to have Mary on if we can at the US Open. And thanks to all of you for listening to us, because we're having a great time. For whatever reason, you sort of pitch in and help fund our beers around the picnic table, which is just magnificent. We're executive produced by tennisballs.com. We have a mascot that is Rio with a Y. We are brought to you in association with The Telegraph, and we'll be back again tomorrow after Federer against Nadal.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.